King David is feeling pretty good in our text this evening. He's no longer on the run from King Saul, but sits on the throne of Israel. The Lord has blessed him with victory after victory over his foreign foes. David lives in a palace, a step up from the pastures and caves that he dwelled in before. And at the moment, God has given his kingdom peace from near perpetual warfare. God has already made David's name revered among the people of Israel and feared among his enemies. David is grateful for all the blessings that God has bestowed upon him and recognizes that God has been faithful to him. It even appears that David is a little bit scandalized that he enjoys living in a palace while the Ark of the Covenant sits in a tent like it has since the days of Moses. David's sentiment is understandable. If God has done so much for me, shouldn't I do something for him? David resolves that he will build God a temple. He wants to do great things for the kingdom of God. Sounds like a pretty good idea. Certainly God would be pleased to be glorified in this way. It sounds like such a good idea that when David goes to the prophet Nathan and asks his blessing on it, Nathan immediately pronounces God's blessing. Nathan says, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." The problem is Nathan didn't consult the Lord first. David wants to do a good work for God, but God never asked him to. The Lord instead scuttles the imagination of David's heart. We read, "But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, 'Go and tell my servant David, would you build a house for me to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. You want to build me a house? Did I ask you to?'" David did what we all naturally want to do. David wants to glorify God, and his heart dreams up its own good work. David wants to build God a temple, and there is nothing inherently wrong with that. In fact, God will have Solomon build him a temple. The problem is that God didn't command it. The human heart is always trying to dream up good works to please God and to glorify God without his command. That was one of the major issues with the pious Pharisees. In their attempt to live a godly life, they dreamed up hundreds of good works not commanded by God. In fact, their self-made works led them not to a holier life, but it led them into sin. Jesus rebukes them for donating to the temple, which seems in itself to be a good work, but they do not take care of their parents. By following their own law, they violate God's command, "Honor your father and mother." This was also one of the major problems in the medieval church. The monks and nuns dreamed up a multitude of works to glorify God. But God did not command it. The Lord never commanded his people to whip themselves or sleep naked in a cold room. These are not God-pleasing works. And like the Pharisees, their own fanciful works contradicted the actual commands of the Lord. Instead of loving their neighbor, they withdrew from the world and focused on their own spiritual discipline. God does not need your works. What can you give God that he does not already have? Do you think that you can make God your debtor? Do you imagine that you could add 1 ounce to his glory? Victoria Osteen, wife of megachurch pastor Joel Osteen, caused quite a stir a couple years ago. She said, "When you come to church, when you worship him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself." The internet blew up with angry Christians crying blasphemy Worship is about serving God. It's about glorifying God. It isn't about you. But here's the real scandal. Victoria was right. It might be the only true thing ever said at Lakewood Community Church. To be fair, the rest of her message was awful. But the blogosphere was scandalized by divine service. The idea that God serves you in worship. In our text, what does God respond to David? The Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. You want to build me a house? I will build you a house. You want to glorify my name? I will glorify your name. God glorifies David in the coming of Jesus. Jesus, the son of David, is the temple in which God dwells. In Christ, God defeats all the enemies of his people, sin, death, the devil, and the world. In Christ, his people can rest secure. To Jesus, the son of David, God subjects all things on heaven and on earth. His throne is established forever. In Jesus, God glorifies David, and he glorifies himself by being faithful to his promises. In divine service, you do not glorify God, but he glorifies you, and in that he is glorified. This building is not for God. It is so you have a place to come and receive his gifts. God does not need these stained glass windows. They are here to teach you something. We could do away with the music and hymns. The purpose is to proclaim God's word to you. None of these things are required. What is required is that we baptize, because in it he sanctifies you. We must proclaim his word because through it he forgives you. And we must partake in his supper because in it he gives you himself. These things God has commanded, and in these things he is glorified. God is glorified in his faithfulness. He is glorified in Christ who comes to you. And you respond with thanks and praise and song. If you want to do God-pleasing works and proclaim his glory to the world, do the works he commands, not those imagined in your hearts. Look to the example of Katharina von Bora Luther, wife of Martin Luther, who the church commemorates on this day. She looked to the Ten Commandments and her vocation in which God placed her. She dutifully took care of the Luther household. Are you a father? Provide for your family and bring your children up in the faith. Are you a daughter? Honor your father and mother. Are you a Christian? Keep the Sabbath holy by devoting yourself to God's word and availing yourself of God's gifts. Amen.